Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
In my 27 years as a Victorian policewoman, I investigated everything from a stolen bicycle to a stolen life. Policing taught me a lot about human nature, which I explore in my podcasts with a variety of fascinating guests discussing the human side and impact of crime, not only on their lives, but mine as well. My podcasts are not suitable for children and some adults for that matter. If you find yourself affected by my subject matter, please contact Lifeline or any other support service or person that you feel comfortable with. My guests provide their recollection of an event or incident, sharing their thoughts and their emotions, but it's theirs and not everyone will agree with them. I understand that and I hope you do too. Thank you.
When I see famous sporting people take time away from the game to, you know, I need to take a break for whatever reason, but mental health related, I love it. I reckon it's great because, one, they're helping themselves, which is ultimately the first and best thing, but they're also showing a message to all those kids who look up to these sportswomen and sportsmen and go, you know what, if it's all right for them to look after their mental health, it's, you know, certainly all right for me to do it. So I think the younger generation coming through the academy and that will be a lot better at it.
Hello, hope you've all had a good week. You know, there's been something going on in that head of mine over the past 12 months or so. I'm just going to put it down to the stress of the floods, living in a motel for 3 months, finding a home to live in and then breaking my ankle. So how am I going so far? Am I convincing you yet that I've had a bit going on? I'm looking for some sympathy, some sort of understanding from you all, because yesterday I learned that I'd completely forgotten to release part two of an interview I did with Mark Thomas way back in May. We released part one okay, but part two never went to air and we just rolled on with our next guest. My excuse, and look, I think it's a pretty good one, is that on the 10th of May, the release of Mark's part one, I broke my ankle. And that week was a whirlwind of pain and worry, as through all the x-rays and CT scans, I'm not sure if you know, but they found a blood clot as well as a broken ankle. Oh my God. So with apologies to Mark, as his story is incredibly uplifting, I'm going to bring you up to speed about who Mark is and his wonderful story, and then we will finally, 3 months later, bring you part two. Seriously, this is awkward and embarrassing, but I've never shied away from the dill that I can be at times. So let's just recap. Who is Mark Thomas? He's a down-to-earth, honest and unusually frank policeman of over two decades, talking very openly about how he was able to manage his PTS. There's a reason we call it PTS and not PTSD, post-traumatic stress. And still to this day, he's a serving current Victoria Police member. Much of the reason Mark was able to return to work was due to the unwavering support of his supervisors. His immediate supervisor understood more than many about how to deal with a member trying to manage psychological injuries, and the difference that has made in Mark's recovery, to be honest, is incredible. Mark loved policing. He loved helping people in their darkest, saddest hours, helping them when they believed or thought that there was no help. He was the strong and steady head and hand that they needed, and he had it in bucket loads. For the first 7 years of his career, until the 8th of April 2003, and Mark still doesn't know exactly what it was about the incident on this day that affected him so badly, but affect him it did. It took 10 years for him to fall over or collapse psychologically. But there were little signs during those 10 years which Mark thought was just normal when being confronted with trauma in just about every shift of his policing career. He was becoming extremely mentally unwell, mentally injured. So without further ado, here is part two of Mark Thomas, finally. Oh, and just before I leave, clearly, I don't think there's any argument. It's time for me to have a mid-winter break for a few weeks. I'm compiling some great guests for the last half of the year, and we'll see you back then. But meanwhile, the boys at Black Salmon we'll bring to you a few Narelle specials. So take care out there, and I'll talk to you in a few weeks. Bye. This week, Mark takes us through the difference between a companion dog and an assistance dog, and the amazing story behind Jimmy, an assistance dog who Mark has watched in action, and the deep understanding that Jimmy has with his companion, who's unfortunately a very troubled policeman who's learning to go out in the public again, but all thanks to Jimmy. Mark also talks about the power of having a supervisor who understands mental illness and the difference that he's made to Mark's working life. Mark has been able to return to work full time because and only because of his supervisor's knowledge and understanding of PTSI in particular. Mark refers to his manager as he isn't a manager. He said he is a pure leader. And he talks about the fact that this man can not only manage but lead. There's a big difference, isn't there? And Mark also talks about when Graham Ashton went off on mental health leave, that the difference, the effect that it had within a lot of members within Victoria Police. People he spoke to about loving the message that Graham Ashton gave, and he said it was just awesome to see such a display of leadership, showing that it is okay to take time out. And he just refers to it as just brilliant. Mark had also told us about the word is getting out there at the academy, because some recruits are leaving the academy making monthly appointments to see a psych and forming a relationship, being proactive with a psych rather than see them when they're at their worst. I imagine the psych would help them prepare for what they are going to be exposed to. Like, how good is that? And Mark also shares with us the changes which have slowly been introduced for members who are required to view child abuse material, and as I was, and which I have no doubt was my undoing, as I said last week. He tells us about the graduated approach that VicPol are taking in exposing members to child abuse material rather than just almost dumping members into this horrific world, which many of us just couldn't deal with. Anyway, again, I say it, he's an amazing man. Have a great week. Take care. Bye. Can you tell us when you were in hospital, you started to think about how you could help other people in this position, that you didn't want anyone to go through this? Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so when I was sitting in hospital, I felt intensely alone, and I thought no one could possibly know what I'm going through here, which, you know, a healthy mind now suggests that that's complete and utter crap, because there are obviously far too many people going through what I went through and feeling that aloneness. So I thought, once I get back to work full time, I'll start a support group. And that there was a bluff in that, like, yes, I wanted to start a support group to get around. At that stage, it was coppers. So if someone's newly diagnosed or struggling, then we can get around them and say, hey, we're all part of this little club. We all know exactly what you're going through. So you're not alone. This is what might help, rah, rah. Certainly not clinical treatment in any sense of the word, just a peer-to-peer support sort of thought. But at that stage, I actually didn't think I'd work again. I didn't think I was going to get back to work. So there's a bit of a bluff in my mind to go, well, there's an aim. So I know I want to start this support group, but I'm going to do it when I'm full-time work. So something to concentrate on. And then I returned to work about 7 weeks later, which was probably about, you know, probably 7 weeks too quick, but I become very obsessed with a work cover ad where the bloke broke his arm. That's just on repeat. But I did have at that stage an incredibly supportive senior sergeant. So I knew I was in good hands. So I went back to work just gradually, and then when I'd feel right, I'd increase hours, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So 2.5 years later, I got back to full-time work, which was obviously a major event for me.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That within 7 weeks of being hospitalized, you can be going back to work. I can't get my head around that.
Well, I worked 4 hours on a Tuesday and 4 hours on a Thursday, and after that 4 hours I'd come home and sleep for hours. It was just cooked. And like the work that I was doing, it's fair to say that I was sitting down at my desk. Work is, I'll use that terminology very loosely. I wasn't accomplishing, I can't even say the word. I wasn't doing too much, put it that way. But that, but that's the power of Mickey Bennett, my senior sergeant, in that he just fed me little drips of work, just enough to keep me occupied, not so I had nothing to do, but nothing that was I actually had to think too hard about. And then when I'd increase hours, he'd just give me a little bit more. You know, just superbly handled.
That's the power, isn't it, of supportive management. And that fills my heart with, I don't know, joy sounds a bit fluffy, but just the fact that you have a supervisor who is just so understanding and so supportive, that's the reason you were able to return to work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. Magical. I owe him my career. So it's been brilliant. After 2.5 years, I got back to work full time and I thought, all right, cool. So then I just started a private Facebook group and just tagged my copper mates, and they tagged a few of theirs, and then every once a month we would have a group catch up at Anzac House in the city. And I never called them meetings because that's too formal. So it was just a catch up. So it was quite cool because everyone, we might get anywhere between 10 and 15 people there. And like everyone there's diagnosed or struggling. And then like I remember one particular, no names obviously, but one bloke, he was struggling a bit, and we got him linked into TPAV, who then got him linked into a psych, and he was shortly thereafter diagnosed, which then got all the work cover stuff going. So it was really cool. But for those people that felt alone, well, you're not, because you're part of this little club that we got going here, which is pretty cool. And you can have some conversations, and because there's nothing quite like speaking to, like, the psych industry, absolutely critical, don't get me wrong, but speaking to someone else who understands what you've been through or what you're going through is incredibly powerful and very validating, which is critical in your recovery. And then shortly after that started, Rob turned up with Jimmy, his assistant style, and so we'd meet for 3 hours, and I remember Rob messaged me actually during the week, and we had a little bit of a chat over Messenger, and then he came along, and of course the whole 3 hours was just spent talking about Jimmy, the assistance dog, and how he helps, and we go on from there. And
some more time goes by, and then me, Rob, and Ben are sitting around one of the meetings one night, and we just floated. What do you reckon we register as a charity to, you know, sponsor these dogs, because they save lives. They're just – and, like, to me, dogs are in three different categories. You got my pet dog who, you know, well, if I'm having a bad day, she cuddles up. She recognises something's wrong, but she hasn't got any training in it. And then you've got the companion dog that's got that sort of, you know, people train their own. You've got a little bit more training to pick up on anxieties and things. And then you've got these elite assistance dogs that are worth tens and tens of thousands of dollars. And, you know, like, they literally save lives. I mean, I've got a couple of stories I won't say, but with people who have told me, if it wasn't for the dog, I'm not here. So, so you got the three of us coppers who are all diagnosed, all decide they're going to start a charity. So we did. And it's just grown. So we call it the Code 9 Foundation. Code 9 being the call sign for coppers who are in trouble. So we thought that was a nice segue into that. And we just continue to expand and evolve into how we help members, which has been really cool. Really cool.
But can you tell us a little bit about what an assistance dog does? Because I'm not sure. I know I don't really get just how much they can do, just the power of their presence even. But what do they, can you take us through what they do?
Yeah,
what
so
they can do, I mean.
One of the stories I'll tell you. We got a bloke called Rob Jackson through a mate of mine, Shane Gordon, who's a PT instructor, really good one, and one who understands mental health as well and really passionate about it. So I asked Shane, nicknamed Flash, to come along to a group meeting one night, or group catch-up, just talk to the crew about the value of body movement and exercise and what it does. And he said, I'm going to one-up you. I'm going to bring me mate Rob along, Rob Jackson, who was then at the Melbourne Football Club as a one of the high-performance trainers.
Yep.
So Rob Jackson came along, and he came along to a couple, and he showed us the effect that sugar has on the body and body movement, and these exercises are good. So it's just trying to educate the crew, you know, these little things you can do to help your brain. And then Rob said, oh, look, if you want to come to a footy game, let me know. I'll hook you up with some tickets. So, oh, yeah, cool. So Rob, with assistance dog Jimmy, Ben and I went to the MCG one day. Like, it was a small crowd. It was Melbourne and Gold Coast when Melbourne, before they were have come good. So it's probably 2014 maybe. No, 2016, 2017. So, and I'm sitting – and Rob hadn't been inside the MCG for a decade or something. So I'm sitting there and I noticed Rob starting to get really anxious. He had this sniff through his nose, which is one of his first signs, and I look at him and then I was about to put my hand on his shoulder just gently and just let me know if you need anything, mate, and I thought, oh, hang on, it's not my job. And then I look down and Jimmy's already looking at him. So when he's at a sporting event, Jimmy sits underneath the seat. And he's come out from underneath and he's just looking. He's just staring up at Rob. And then he comes out and he just sort of sits staring at him. And then he put his paws on Rob's knees and Jimmy's head comes right in front of Rob's and he's like, he's just staring him out. He's just having a look at him, getting closer. And then he puts his paws on Rob's shoulders and starts rubbing his head against Rob's head. So whatever Rob was thinking about and starting to wig him out, as Rob says, it's a bit hard to continue to do that when you got 35 kilos of lead basically headbutting you. So, you know, he licks his face and, like, so that's all Jimmy picking up on it. And Jimmy, you could see him, like, I took a couple of photos of it because Jimmy's got his own Facebook page, which is really cool.
Really?
Yeah. So it's Jimmy, PTSD, and me. And it feels a bit strange when one of your good mates is having an anxiety attack and I'm sitting there taking photos of it.
Yeah, you're right.
This doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
But you know, Jimmy's there to do, like, Jimmy can do the job better than I can. And then Rob just went inside and he found a quiet corner and I, you know, just checking on him, see if he's all right. And, yeah, Jimmy's got his paws wrapped around Rob's head. He's just, you know, headbutting him kind of thing, licking his face, keeping him out. But then other times when Rob's having, like I said, Jimmy sleeps next to Rob on the floor, and a couple of times Rob would be getting really restless, having a nightmare. Jimmy will wake up, jump up the bed and wake Rob up. So, you know, lick his face. If he doesn't respond to that, he just barks right in his face. Oof. Mm. Which gets Rob out of that nightmare.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, which then when he's got the confidence in the dog, he can start to go out in public. Like, one of the great things, oh, great is such bad terminology. One of the things that happens to, you know, first responders, military, etc., when they're pensioned out, is they lose their identities. And like, well, what am I good for now? And so, you know, Rob was able to, you know, take Jimmy to the supermarket, do the shopping after his ill health retired. So Rob's contributing to the family. There's a sense of self-worth that comes with that. He's got Jimmy here to back him up, and he knows if he has a meltdown in the supermarket, Jimmy's there. And even on Jimmy's Facebook page, there is a photo. Rob's got a photo with a trolley and Jimmy's up sort of licking at his face. So he's...
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He's, you know, he's had an anxiety attack and Jimmy's responded to that. Like, these dogs are just extraordinary. And to see him in action, and again, I've said this a few times while presenting, and people not really finding it funny when I say I nearly want to deliberately trigger Rob just so I can see Jimmy go to work.
People
look at me mortified. I go, I'm joking. I just want to make that clear. But it's just such an unbelievable thing to watch.
Oh,
it's so powerful to watch these dogs go to work. Like, you'd never sit there and deliberately trigger a mate.
No, of course. I understand that. You know, but I'm just thinking, with Rob and Jimmy, let's say at the MCG that time, I wonder how many people would walk past and understand what was going on. Like, Does Jimmy have a sign? I think some of them,
yes,
like seeing eye dogs, you know, obviously you know that they are to help vision impaired. But does Jimmy have something on him to say, I'm an assistance dog?
Yes.
So people know?
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, they've got jackets on them. And then there's – so, like, Jimmy's from Assistance Dogs Australia, so it's the ADA logo there. It's got assistance dog written there. So everyone knows that, you know, he's on lead. And I've been out with Rob a few times and you get a lot of people sort of looking. But then, you know, what's happening now is seeing a lot more. Whenever I see a dog, like I was in Queensland last year at the airport and I saw an ADA dog walking through, it was an autism dog. And then, well, because you can see from the son was autistic. And, yeah, like people were so, kind of looking but then kind of not. So it's becoming more and more aware that dogs walking through airports, walking through streets, things that have got these jackets on it, well, they're helping the person. So it's just the biggest, not the biggest, but one of the things people have got to understand, the dog's not there to be patted. So, like, I've been with Rob, we've been out places, people come, oh, can I give the dog a pat? No, you can't. And Rob's really nice about it. He said, no, look, sorry, the dog's at work. You're not allowed to. But it's – and that's – they're not there as a pet. They're there as a – and I'll take –
a support.
A support, yes.
So,
but then it's funny. You take the jacket off and then their dogs again. They go run around, jumping around and
– really?
Just being dog. Yeah, so it's jacket on, jacket off. And when you see
– right. Like,
with Rob again. Rob features in so many of the pods I do because he's, you know, so out there with it, and like he's a great mate. But we were walking with Rob one day, and Jimmy's sitting there, and we're walking along, and just at work, and he goes, "Watch this!" And then he takes his jacket off. We're at a park, and he goes, "Release!" And Jimmy just tears off, running around in circles, doing zoomies, you know, rolling around on his back, and then you'll call Jim over. And then puts the jacket on, and it's just a bang.
It's like a different dog.
Yeah. Now I'm at work again. So, which is really.
Fascinating.
Testament to their training.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so you are sponsored two assistance dogs?
Yes, we've got two. We're waiting for our second one to be placed, and then we'll do another one after that. So, but a lot of it's to do. With awareness as well. It's just making people aware that these dogs are for people with mental injuries. They also do – if you see these dogs, don't go up and interact with them if they've got their jacket on in a nice way, telling people in a nice way.
Yeah. Well, again, we're educating people and you're educating me about assistance dogs because I had no idea that a dog like, say, Jimmy could be like us at work and then at home.
Yes.
You know, it's two different dogs. Can I just go to your supervisor because I think we need to put them on a pedestal because it seems to me that they have or he – you had – was it? It was seems like it was a group of people, a group of supervisors that had a deep understanding of your mental injury and how to manage you. Can you just tell us what it feels like to have someone in your corner and not judging you? I just think that would be so powerful.
Powerful is not the word. Well, it is a word, but bold it, italic, and underline it. Like it's just. I remember. One of the stories I always say, when we were still at St Kilda Road before we moved, I was downstairs and I can't remember what triggered me, but I got quite substantially triggered and I went back upstairs and I went in his office and I said, mate, I've just been triggered really badly, but I want to stay here. I want to see if I can get through this. He goes, mate, what have you got to do? So his office was behind me. And I'm sitting there, I've got headphones on, listening to music, so it's one of the great grounders. And just out of in my peripheral vision, I saw his head pop around the corner just checking on me. And I just, like, it helped calm me down because I got this
this bloke, he's got no agendas. He's got nothing to care for me. And just extraordinary. Like the power that that brings, the reinforcement. And like, I remember, it's probably about 12, no, started January last year. I just woke up and I was not in a good way. I was struggling. So, whatever. Get your clothes on, cool. Grab my bike out of the garage, walking up the driveway, and I thought, what are you doing? And I thought, okay, cool. Put me bike away, went inside, just went back to bed, and I messaged Mick and I just said, mate, I'm no good, I'm taking the day. And he replied straight away, yep, no worries, pal, give me a yell if you need anything. And then, lunchtime-ish, just a check-in, how you doing, mate? If you need tomorrow, take tomorrow. Otherwise, just let me know what your plans are. Just complete support. And then wake up the next day, I needed a day just to, just relax, whatever, sleep, clear the brain. I wasn't much chopped the next day, but I was good enough to go to work. I've always been I can't. I've got to get to work if I can do it. I've only ever taken days where I cannot do it today, which doesn't happen very often, which is good. And then I got the office the next day and he said, how you doing, mate? I said, oh, yeah, better, but, still, kind of thing. And he goes, all right, well, if you've got to take off, mate, let me know, we'll drive you out. Like, it was not worried about the work that I had outstanding or any whatever is coming up. It was just purely about me and
cared,
my health.
He cared, exactly. He cared about you.
Yeah. And like, so he was my supervisor at a work unit, then he had to leave through the maximum time position. So I followed him, like took a pay cut to go to where I am now, which he's just moved on now, but that's fine. But, just to be under his leadership, like he's not a manager in any sense of the word. He's just a pure leader, and a leader can both manage and lead, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's so true. Talking about leaders, I remember when our then Chief Commissioner Graham Ashton, he went on a mental health break, and I wasn't working at the time. I had retired by then, but I imagine that would have been really empowering for people within VicPol. What was it like to know that your leader of VicPol was vulnerable, like you had been? He was in a mental health sense, obviously, just like so many others. Did that affect – what was the effect within VicPol, I suppose?
Those of us who – well, the people who I spoke to about it loved it. Loved it in the sense that we didn't love it that Mr. Ashton needed to take that time, but I just loved how he's gone, I need time out. So I'm going to go sit on the bench for a few weeks and I'm going to reset my mind and body and then I'll be back, which the self-care for that is just elite, just taking time out. And for a chief commissioner to do that, I just look back and go, that's awesome. And the people who I spoke to about that, typically the people who are interested in mental health and, can we change this? What can we do to make things better, et cetera, everyone was in agreement. So that display of leadership by Mr. Ashton in taking some time off and showing that it's okay to do that, brilliant, just brilliant.
Yeah, that's great. In 87, when I went through the academy, mental health wasn't discussed or or addressed in any way, shape or form. I know that you now have pretty much got a free rein to go and talk to members about mental health. But do you know if they're addressing mental health as a subject now out at the academy? I'm assuming they do, but...
They do, yes. So there's... Police Veterans Victoria have
one of their reps. I think Dave McGowan's gone out a couple of times and have had some people gone out to speak to the recruits a few times. I know a couple of old members, old veterans who are diagnosed, they've spoken to recruits. The psych unit goes out, wellbeing unit will go out. So they've got a lot more exposure to it. But also what's helping, though, is as a community as a whole, because, you know, younger people now have been exposed to it. There's a lot more education-wise, you know, you see when I see famous sporting people take time away from the game to help them, you know, I need to take a break here. I'm not, you know, for whatever reason, but mental health related, I love it. I reckon it's great because one, they're helping themselves, which is ultimately the first and best thing, but they're also showing a message to all those kids who look up to these sportswomen and sportsmen and go, you know what, if it's all right for them to look after their mental health, well, it's, you know, certainly all right for me to do it. So I think the younger generation coming through through the academy and that will be a lot better at it. And I did hear last year or maybe the year before now that there had been some recruits that as soon as they got out of the academy, they used the wellbeing unit to book into a psych to start building a relationship with that psych. Just in the case that they become mentally injured at some stage, then you've already got that rapport, you've already got that relationship. Oh, how good. Like, you know, talk about being proactive.
Yeah, and you know, I'm just thinking to myself, like, and this isn't a having a go at Victoria Police at all or the academy, but to go out and talk to members, yes, that's very powerful. Where, because I've done it myself, where you go out and talk to the recruits and you tell them all about, you know, what's happened and how, you know, how much better you are now, what the signs were, all this. But I actually mean about making it a part of the curriculum, not just hearing people talking about it, about learning about what mental health is and what are the signs and how to look after yourself. Yes, the people talking about it is very good, but I think they need a bit more than just somebody talking about it. It's a great start, but do you agree that I think it's about going right into the mental health subject, not just listening to someone talking?
Yep, agree. I reckon that'd be a really good idea. I've never actually thought about that, but that would be to learn the signs and symptoms. Like, that's where when I do present and speak about it, I say I sat in hospital not wanting to live. So I know what that's like. Like, and as I said before, suicide was never a real danger, but, you know, tomorrow was black. I completely disassociated from everything. If I had have known what the signs and symptoms of depression and anxiety were, I would never have gotten to that space where I know what it's like for why people take their lives. So, and that's, jump onto, you're like, Beyond Blue's got some awesome checklists. They've got, you know, that's, to me, that's the Bible of mental health advice that is the, for me, the Beyond Blue website. Like, jump on there. Just have a look at the signs and symptoms. You don't need to learn them verbatim, but just have an idea so that if someday you start to go a little bit south, you're going to pick up on it pretty early. And then you can get to a GP, get to a psych and get that squared away before it really takes hold.
Yeah, because like you, I didn't understand what was going on, and I know now that if I, like you, if I would have known some of the signs to look out for or at least to have read them or been taught them, I would have thought, I'm in a bit of trouble here. Yeah. Anyway, look, just in closing, in our discussions we had in preparation for today, you explained to me how police now examine child abuse material for court purposes. And I was wondering if you would mind sharing, because you've had a bit of experience at this, would you mind sharing how that's changed? Because viewing child abuse material was a huge contribution to my own PTSI, and it's a relief in a way that others don't have to be exposed to that horrific material. But it has changed, hasn't it?
It has changed. So I haven't been involved in that to a large degree, but I work with a couple of police women who have had enormous experience in this, and I spoke to them about that, like how do you get people in, like when new members, and it's a very graduated approach now. So you've given, I believe there's psych oversight as well at times, in that it's just you put your feet in the water. Oh, your toes in the water. Yep, we're good. All right, let's go up to the ankles. Okay, we're good. Let's go up to the shin. Okay, we're good. Let's go up to the middle of the shin. So it's, you're not just given all of this material, there you go, bang, straight off. It's a very careful, stepped approach. And like to the point where when it's been explained to me, I'd nearly say it's like a clinical approach. It's very, there's been a ton of work go into it. Well, that's, yeah, there's been a, you know, so much work going into it. New people come in, just that gradual approach to it.
It makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Oh, it does.
Yeah, I love it.
I did a heap of those types of files back when I was younger, and yeah, there was no training. It's like, there you go. We'd do a warrant, grab all these discs, you open up the disc, and whooshka. There's all these, images and videos and stuff. So, but certainly it's really good. I was really pleased to hear that from the girls, because that is something we can control. How people are exposed to that. What we can't control is when we're out in the street. If something happens right there, you're called to a scene. You can't gradually enter, you know, or do little.
You're right.
You've got to do it. Yeah. You're there. Something needs to be done. But when it's like, that's very reactive. But when we're doing these types of files, we can control how people are exposed to it. So, which is really good.
Oh, that warms my heart. Well, look, Mark, I better give you back some of your Sunday. So look, just thank you so much for what you've done. For those who think there's nothing left to live for, because what you are doing is still making a huge difference to people's lives, but just in a different way, I suppose, to being on the front line. And I just bet that when you're lying in that hospital bed at the lowest point of your life, when you're under that shower, you'd never ever thought that you would be where you are now, still employed by VicPol and still making a difference. You're a legend, my friend.
Thank you for those words, Narelle. Very, very appreciative. And that's dead right, absolutely dead right. There's no way I would have thought I'd be like this 10 years ago. So
no. And just a quick plug, how can people find Code 9? And we put in a plug, didn't we, for Jimmy? Jimmy for PTSD, Jimmy, what about Code 9?
Yeah, so the Code 9 Foundation, so code9ptsd.org.au, and it's all the socials is all Code 9 PTSD. So, yeah, we sit there, we sponsor assistance dogs, we supply meals to members that are really struggling, sending people away for respite weekends just so they can have a quiet weekend. Gardening and maintenance done for members whose anxieties are so high they can't do it, and several other things. So it's really cool the way that's evolving.
I love what you do. Thank you.
Thanks, Narelle.
As you've probably noticed, we've moved to a new platform called Acast. I think that's the right expression, I've got no idea. And my previous reviews haven't transferred over. I need reviews. Could you do me a favour and put up a review? And thank you so much for your support and patronage. With your help, I can give you that little bit extra. Thanks. Thank you.
the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.